The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. And I will read from verse 1 to verse 11. Here is the Word of God. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such shall be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Dear church family, I want to ask you this question in the very beginning. How or where can mercy and justice be harmonized? Consider a kind person who has a very good reputation and who accidentally killed someone and he is sentenced to the death penalty. You may say there is no mercy in this case. Too much condemnation. However, consider a criminal intentionally kill someone and the judge just put him into jail for 1 year. You may think there's too much mercy. Too much mercy. There's no justice in this case. Indeed, mercy and justice seem like two opposite elements that cannot be balanced and be harmonized together. However, in our text today from John 8, verse 1 to 11, one of the most beautiful and comforting narrative in gospel, we will see this picture that mercy and justice are harmonized in Jesus Christ, who is the just and the justifier. Our theme today is simply Jesus and the adulterous woman. I will address this into 3 points. First, sin exposed, which you can find from verses 1 to 9. And second, mercy granted from verses 10 to 11a. And third, command ensued which you can find in verse 11b. So sin exposed, mercy granted, and command ensued. So the previous chapters of John give us the context that those Jews are very offended by Jesus' public ministry. Especially Jesus just healed a lame person on Sabbath day. After failing to kill Jesus, they hardened their heart by another conspiracy. From our text today, we can know that the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Jesus a woman taken in adultery when Jesus was teaching publicly in the temple early morning. They put her in the midst of the temple where so many people can watch it. The sin of this woman was exposed publicly by those Jews. Obviously, she broke the seventh commandment. And according to the law of Moses, such as Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 21 to 24, she should be stoned. That's according to the law of Moses. However, we see a deeper sin exposed in this picture. Those people, they ask Jesus not for advice of justice, but the text says this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. So ironically, from this picture, they sin against the Lord in many ways. We see that they took the name of God in vain. Why? Because they used the law not for God's glory. We should use the word of God for God's glory, but they use the law of God as a tool for their own gain. They also broke the sixth commandment as they killed this woman by treating her as an item with no respect. Also, they bore the false witness. Why? Because according to the law, both adulterous man and woman should be condemned. But we see the picture. The man is missing here. Because their purpose is never for justice. They also broke the first commandment, because they do not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. On the contrary, they want to accuse him. How terrible they are. And when Jesus heard this wicked and trapping question, let's see, what did he do? It is truly a dilemma. If Jesus answered, no, you should not stone her, then they would accuse him to break and diminish the law of Moses. But if he said yes, then they would accuse him to the Romans as one who usurped the prerogative of putting criminals to death. And additionally, if Jesus said yes, he would say, they would accuse him by saying, this man, Jesus, just told you that he is the fountain of life, the bread of life. But now, when you came to him, he would condemn you to death. So it would compromise his teaching of grace. So we see here, no matter Jesus says yes or no, they can have something to accuse Jesus. However, our Lord dealt with this question with his perfect wisdom. In verse 6, we read, "But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." We don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground, and we should not speculate too much. But by his action, suggested by John Calvin, shows that he despised them, indicating how unworthy they were of being heard. However, they hardened their heart. They continued to ask him. And now we see Jesus' answer is very astonishing here. He lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Here we need to know that Jesus is not destroying the whole judicial system. And he is not forbidding people to correct the sins of others. But Jesus spoke here to expose their deeper sin, their hidden sin, namely, their hypocritical hearts. As one reformer comments this way, Jesus is using of his spiritual office against hypocrites, showing that they are, by the law and before God, no less guilty and worthy of condemnation than this adulteress. For these scribes and Pharisees, they thought they are law keepers. They thought they're professional in the law. They even teach the law professionally. And they think they have the right to accuse. They have the right to judge others because they think themselves as the lawkeeper. They think they keep the law so strictly. But ironically, Jesus used the law of God, the law of Moses, which they boast about, to expose their sin also publicly. Jesus is saying here, if any of you have never transgressed the law, if any of you have never committed malicious sin, if any of you have never committed adultery like this woman, you can cast a stone at her. Now, their sins are exposed by Jesus Christ publicly. Because, as the text says, they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. By God's law, they are all guilty. By God's law, they are all convicted. They have no right to judge others, because they are also sinners. No one is innocent in this picture. Under God's law, no one can be declared as sinlessness. The woman caught in adultery, she is a sinner. These scribes and Pharisees, they are sinners. And each of us today, our sin is exposed by the holy law of God. By his law, we know that we are sinners. As we read in the beginning of our service, all 10 commandments shows us we are sinners. Dear church family, we were born and conceived as sinners. Without God's grace, what we do and did is sinning against Him. Because we cannot keep the law by ourselves. Who can say today that I never commit adultery? Who can say so? Who can say that I never be jealous to other people? Who can say so? Who can say that I keep the moral law perfectly for several days? Who can say so? No one. Galatians 3:22 speaks this way, but the scripture has concluded all under sin. Those scribes and Pharisees are under sin. This woman is under sin. And by nature, we are all under sin. And moreover, dear church family, another application is that we should be careful about the wicked sin of hypocrisy. We should often examine ourselves. Maybe you think I'm not that bad as those Jews because they accused Jesus. However, when we examine ourselves, how many times we accuse those who are loved by Jesus? How many times we accuse those who are loved by Jesus? How many times when we listen to a sermon proclaimed and immediately we think that person needs to be changed? Many times we think we do this better than that person. By nature, we do not esteem others better than ourselves in lowliness of mind. On the contrary, we are so prone to expose others' sin or weakness, thinking that I am better, at least in this area. We're so easy to hide our sin and find out other sin with wrong motivation and purpose. We sometimes, maybe often, act like those Jews, being self-righteous and blind to ourselves. However, dear church family, I want to clarify here. Jesus is not saying here that we should never point out others' sin. No, that is another extreme today. So many people are very individualistic, thinking, I don't care what other Christians are doing as long as they do not bother me. No, that is wrong either. As Christians, we should exhort one another, correct one another, and sometimes even rebuke one another. However, we should never do it with a hypocritical heart, being satisfied with exposing others' sin. No, we should do it with right motivation and purpose. We should do so for God's glory and for His or her benefit. Therefore, dear church family, we need to come to Jesus always to repent of our sins, to always prayfully examine ourselves. Pray for a loving and humble heart. Pray to the Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us to love God and to love our neighbors. And always remember that without God's grace and mercy, we are all under God's wrath. And we are all under sin. By nature, we are no better than those Jews. Then what? Now the question is, are we all hopeless and helpless? Is this woman hopeless? Not being condemned by those hypocrites, but waiting for the condemnation of Jesus Christ? Indeed, Jesus is the only one who is sinless. He is the only one now standing in the midst of the temple with this woman. He is the only one who has the right to judge and to condemn. However, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the most merciful and gracious Savior, Son of God, He shows His great compassion to this woman. He talked to her with such tenderness and meekness. Woman, where are those thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Dear church family, how beautiful it is. Jesus Christ Himself speaks in John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This statement must be the sweetest words in this world. Neither do I condemn thee. God's mercy freely granted to this adulterous woman. Blessed are they whose iniquity are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Dear children among us, imagine that when you broke something at school because of your fault, and you maybe expect your parents' discipline. However, your parents forgive you, and additionally, your parents pay for the broken object for you. How happy you must feel. And likewise, as reformer Heinrich Bullinger beautifully puts it this way. By this statement, neither do I condemn thee, Jesus did not just declare that He would by no means demand her punishment, but also that He pardoned her guilt and remitted her sins, relieving her from the just condemnation of God by which those who sin against God's law are sentenced to eternal torment. How beautiful it is. However, maybe some of you may question, then God is not just. How can Jesus Christ justify what this woman has done as nothing happened? How can Jesus dismiss the law of Moses? How can Jesus dismiss the law's demand for judgment? The answer is, Jesus is the just. He is justice. The answer is in Himself, in His sacrificial work on the cross. Because justice of God is paid by His death on the cross.
Because he bore all iniquities of his people, he was cursed so that all his people will not be cursed. He was condemned by the Jews so that everyone in him will not be condemned by his Father. And also mercy of God is also shown in Jesus. When he died on the cross, when he perfectly obeyed his Father, he died and he did all these things for his people, for all these needy sinners. All believers' sin is removed by his shedding blood. And all God's people are justified before God because of imputation of Jesus' righteousness. All needy sinners who are justified, not because of our works, but because of His perfect works. Therefore there is no condemnation. Therefore, Jesus can speak here, neither do I condemn thee, because I will be cursed, because he will be cursed and condemned for this woman. What an amazing grace. What an amazing grace. This is the heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the picture that Psalmist says in Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. How beautiful it is. Dear believers, do you taste His love once again? God commend His love toward you. And when you were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for you. It is not because how good you are, how good we are. No, as we have seen this in the first point, all of us are filthy sinners. No one can keep His law a tiny bit. No. There is no beauty in us. The reason why Jesus died for you, dear believer, is because of His sacrificial mercy, His saving mercy upon you. Just like this woman caught in adultery, in the very act. It is not because of her good work. No, she committed adultery. But because Jesus' free grace and mercy touched upon her that day. And she trusted Jesus as the redeeming Savior. Although we do not know exactly in which moment of this story that this woman was born again, but with much evidence, we know that this woman's eyes have been opened by God's grace to understand that he was in the presence of her redeeming Lord. Thus, she did not leave Christ, and she professed him as Lord instead of Master, and also her vindication proclaimed by Jesus. All these evidence shows that her eyes were opened and she had faith in Christ by His free grace. Therefore, dear believers, Christ's love on the cross should give you tremendous comfort when we live in this world. This comforting truth should give us confidence and courage to be witness, to be His witness in this world. Yes, the world hates you. But what can man do unto you if you belong to Jesus Christ? What can man do to you if Jesus Himself say to you, no condemnation to you? Yes, many people, even your own conscience, Satan many times condemn you, but then what? Your Lord does not condemn you, and it is enough. Dear believers, dearly beloved, find your rest and peace in your Lord Jesus Christ, because you do not belong to this world. You belong to Him, because He redeemed you by His shedding blood. Always abide in Him. However, dear friends, if some of you, many of you, do not regard Him as your Lord, as your Savior, then what will you do? Think about it. What will you do if you were there in this picture? Will you leave Jesus like these scribes and Pharisees? Will you leave Jesus after knowing that you are sinners? Because their conscience were convicted, but they left. They do not come to the feet of Jesus to ask for forgiveness, but they left. Dear friends, will you harden your heart today after hearing the proclamation of the Word of God? Never come to the fountain of the life. Never come to the only remedy of sin. Dear friends, mere conviction by your conscience cannot save you. Do not stop at the point that I'm convicted by all these sins. Yes. By the Ten Commandments, I know I'm a sinner. Then you left. No, never stop at that point. Because mere conviction cannot save you until you see Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. Dear friends, I plead with you to pray to Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to Him continuously until you see Him as your Savior, as your Lord. Not only a master, not only a teacher, but until you see Him as my Savior, as my Lord, as my Christ. Come to Him. Come to the throne of Jesus, crying out for His mercy with repentance. The gospel is freely offered to you. And how would you respond, dear friends? And before we see the third point, let's first sing Psalter number 230. Verses 1 to 4. And now maybe some of you have another question. If Jesus does not condemn His people, then I have freedom. Then I can do whatever I want to because Jesus has already taken my place. Today, many people would argue so. They will argue that if you are a Christian, you can do whatever you want because Jesus is so merciful and anyway He will forgive you. No, God forbids. As mercy granted, His command also ensued right away. This is our third point. Jesus said here, go and sin no more. In other words, our Lord is saying, woman, go in peace because your sin has been forgiven. But now, because you put into a new life, thus do not keep sinning anymore. However, dear church family, we need to know that Jesus' commandment does not indicate that redeemed believers are perfect. No, we are still often sinning against our Lord many times because of our flesh. We still have remaining sin when we live in this world. Many times we will experience, and we have experienced, Paul's experience in Romans 7. That the good that I would, I do not. We can only be perfect when we see our Lord face to face in glorification. However, a true believer, as John writes in his letter, should not keep sinning, should not love sin, should not enjoy sin. This is what Jesus means here for this woman. Forsake sin. Die to sin. Not only adultery, but die to every sin that is against the commandment of God. Live a sanctified life to glorify me because I have set you free. Free from the bondage of sin so that you are able to live for me. Dear believers in the Lord, this is also the command for each of you. If you are a true believer, this is not optional. No, this is the command because you are purchased, because you are purchased by His blood, because you do not belong to yourself, you belong to Him. You do not belong to Satan. You do not belong to sin. You belong to Jesus Christ. You used to enjoy sin. You used to live in darkness. But now, because He delivered you, now you are living in the light. You were born again for a new life by God's grace. So you do not love and enjoy sin. You are dead in sin and have new life in Christ. Therefore, sin no more. Sin no more. Because your master, your Lord, is not Satan. Sin no more because you could not help yourself to not sin before. But now you have liberty in Christ that you are able to do His will. By the work of the Holy Spirit, sin no more. Because your Lord, who sanctified and also who sacrificed His life for you, He hates sin. Children, I want to ask you this question. Do you enjoy hurting your parents? Do you enjoy hurting your parents? No, I don't think so. Because you know that your parents give you life. Your parents love you. So you don't want to do something to against him or her, your parents. Likewise, dear believers in the Lord, always meditate on sacrificial work of your Lord Jesus Christ. knowing that He hates sin. He died for you because of your sin. Therefore, sin no more and live by Him and for Him. However, dear believers, by your own nature, by your own power, we are not able to sin no more. Remember that God's saving mercy is the only ground for your sanctification. Justification is the foundation of your sanctification. Notice here in the text, Jesus did not say, "Go and sin no more, and I will not condemn thee." No. He did not say this. He said opposite. "Neither do I condemn thee first, and then go and sin no more." If Jesus said, "Go and sin no more, and I will not condemn thee," then every one of us would be condemned because we cannot do it. We cannot do good works by ourselves. So we should always know that without Christ, without His mercy, without His grace, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing good. We can do nothing to please Him. We cannot earn our salvation by our works. No, it is all His grace. Grace alone. Christ alone. Only when you are justified before God, only when you have a personal relationship with Him, only by the saving work of the Holy Spirit, then you are able to put sin to death and to do good works by His grace. Because God loved you first so that you can love Him. Justification is the ground of sanctification, and sanctification is the proof or evidence of justification. Therefore, dear church family, I want to challenge each of us today. Do I love Christ? Do you submit yourself, surrender yourself unto Christ? Do you regard Him truly as your Lord, as a lordship, that He is the Lord, I am servant, I do whatever He commanded? Or do you still love sin? Do you still depend on your ability to do everything? Do you still depend on your head knowledge, trying to marry something? Dear church family, once again, come to Jesus with a repentant heart, knowing that we are truly miserable. We are truly needy sinners, and asking for His mercy upon us, and always, again and again, come to the fountain of life. Come to Jesus Christ, the fountain of mercy, the fountain of grace, the fountain of life, and the fountain of sanctification. Remember, dear believers, you are unable to do anything apart from Him. But you are now able to sin no more through Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I conclude our sermon this morning, let's go back to the first question I asked. Where or how can mercy and justice be harmonized? they are harmonized in Jesus Christ and His sacrificial work on the cross. It is summarized so well in Belcher Confession, Article 20. If you have the Psalter, please turn with me to the page 14 at the back of your Psalter. I will read the second paragraph. Belcher Confession, Article 20. The title is, God has manifested His justice and mercy in Christ. And the second paragraph, we read, God therefore manifested His justice against His Son when He laid our iniquities upon Him and poured forth His mercy and goodness on us who were guilty and worthy of damnation out of mere and perfect love, giving His Son unto death for us and raising Him for our justification, and through Him we might obtain immortality and life eternal. The woman caught in adultery ought to be condemned by God according to His holy word. By nature, all of us today should be condemned to eternal death according to His holy word. But because of Jesus Christ, but because of His work on the cross, but because of His resurrection for His people, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, then all of His people who have personal relationship with Him now shall never be condemned and might obtain eternal life. Dear church family, this is our merciful Lord. This is our merciful Savior. And this is the essence, the heart of the gospel. The greatest news, the greatest news in this world. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much. We thank Thee so much for Thy loving kindness and Thy mercy and love and Thy justice and Thy holiness that is shown in Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Without Him, we are all doomed in darkness. Without Him, we are all perishing in sin. According to Thy holy law, no one can do anything. We are all sinners. But Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because we have a mediator. We have an advocate. We have a Savior. We have an offering, sacrificial offering for all His people who died on the cross willingly and sacrificially for our sins. Amazing grace, Lord. Help us to meditate often this amazing grace. Help us to look upon Him every day, every second. And help us to live a sanctified life unto Him. And Lord, also pray for those who do not know Thee. Oh Lord, please open their eyes and open their hearts by Thy Holy Spirit and by the word proclaimed. Illuminate them with Thy Holy Spirit. Help them to see the sweetness of this gospel that Jesus Christ, Him crucified, And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.